remind you about our music program tonight. Our adult choir will be singing the Christmas musicale special this evening. Love to have you come, 6 p.m. We praise the Lord. It seems that the storm that they were talking about is tracked off. Amen?
Amen.
Like off, way off. Amen? Anybody happy about that? Can I see your hand? Anybody disappointed about that? Can I see your hand? Oh! Friend or foe? Looking for snow. I love snow for a little while. Also, do want to remind you that if you were part of the membership class, Brother Steve mentioned this morning, we have a deacon's meeting this Tuesday night, 6:30. You're welcome to come share testimonies with myself and the deacons. And we'd love to have you come and do that. It works out in your calendar. It'll be this coming Tuesday night, 6:30. If you'd like to continue that last part of the process, you've already taken the class, love to have you come and share your salvation testimony, baptism testimony with us, what God is doing in your life now. So we'll be meeting this coming Tuesday night, 6:30. And so we'd love to have you. Matthew chapter number 2, going to begin reading with you, verse number 1. Matthew 2, 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. If you were here last Sunday, you remember we looked at this passage in reference to his star they saw in the east and the delightful reception they have in receiving him. Now, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men or the magi together, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11, and when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sing to you this morning, to be able to hear our special music, and what a blessing. And Father, to be able to come now and open your word, your mouth, and have you speak to us as we worship you this morning. Father, it's our prayer first that if there be any in our midst among us who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that you would save them. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them as Jesus would be lifted up. As the Father receives honor and glory today, that any here that have not made preparation for when this earthly life ends, that they might come by way of the cross today. Father, it's our prayer today that each of us who name the name of Christ might have a better understanding as we seek to mine out, as we seek to look at for a few moments a verse in Matthew that speaks volumes. It's one verse, and yet it's a verse that speaks volumes to us. And so, Holy Spirit, that you might have your way in every heart today as we've gathered here, desiring you to give us something. We want to, I want to walk out differently from whence I came in. I need a touch from God on my life as well as each of us this day. Please work. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 11 with me as our text. Bible says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You know, many think of Christmas, this season that is upon us, in terms of what they are going to receive. I went to the local mall yesterday, which I planned to go there, you know, in and out. Just a few minutes in, a few minutes out, right? In and out. And those few minutes turned into probably a couple hours or so. You know, that wasn't the plan going in initially, but that's what happened. And it's hard when you go through a mall and, you know, you get somebody walking in front of you. You know, people walk 10 people abreast, shoulder to shoulder, and they're going about as fast as a herd of turtles. Amen? And you're just behind them and you can't get around them. So that adds to the clock, you know, adds to time. And then you're in there, you know, shopping and looking around. And I got to be honest with you, my wife knows how to shop. I don't. I hunt. Okay, when I go to a store, I know where I know what I want. I know where it is. I go in, bing bang, get it. I'm out. Right? I was tickled yesterday. In fact, I was telling folks in the first service, I laughed out loud. I couldn't help it. And people looked at me like, "What are you laughing at?" You know. And I'm standing there and I'm watching as this man and woman coming down the aisle and I hear them say, "We all set now? We're all done? Yep, we're all done. We get everything we need? Yep, get everything we need." They're walking along and all of a sudden his wife stops and goes, "Ooh." He says, "Keep going, keep walking. Don't stop, don't look, keep going." And I just did what you did. I laughed out loud. They both looked at me like I intruded on the conversation, you know. But it was too funny, you know. And we do that. You know, we go to the malls, we do our shopping. In fact, you know, I saw some people from church bust in and bust out. You know, I saw them around. I met somebody yesterday and stopped and had a little snack with them and talked. But, you know, I was thinking about as I'm in there, children are taught from infancy to look forward to Christmas, for at that time, many presents will be coming their way, and they look forward to it. Many adults are inclined also to think in these terms. The Christmas time comes, and the receiving of gifts. And along with those who are inclined to think in terms of receiving gifts, there are also many parents, many adults, that dread having to purchase gifts. Amen? I saw many sad faces yesterday. I really did. And amongst many happy faces, many of those happy faces were on the faces of young ones. Many of the sad faces were on faces of older ones. And all I could think is they pulled out the plastic and ran into a store screaming charge. And, you know, but I think it's a sad commentary on life. And I think everybody needs to be careful. And I think the Bible would forewarn us of this too, that, let me just throw out this little word here. Don't go in debt for Christmas. Amen. Don't do it. I've talked with people and met people over years that, you know, they'll get this Christmas paid off next December 24th, you know, and they just start the cycle over again, you know, and I suppose we have family and friends we love, and we'd love to get them the, you know, the Cadillac Escalade, but, you know, if you can get them a little Volkswagen Beetle, you know, that'll still do the same thing, won't it? You get them a good pair of running shoes, that will do the same thing, wouldn't it? But just be careful. A word to the wise. You know, you see so much of it out there, and it's just amazing to me. But how many really have and really enjoy the true spirit of Christmas in a spirit of what I call unselfish, devoted giving? Devoted giving. That's what we're thinking about this morning. And did you ever wonder where and when the giving of Christmas gifts even originated? Have you ever thought about that? You ever sat back and thought, why do I do this? Why do I go out and make this purchase, this gift of love that I want to give to somebody? And I mean a gift that, you know, not just a gift that you're going out and you're getting to say, per se, get a gift. But you know, it's like getting a gift with that person in mind. You know, I was thinking about this. You remember years ago, people, when they would name their children, even the Bible shows us this, people would name their children. When the baby was born into the world, a person named their child, but they gave them a name that they felt was befitting them. You know, how many times you say, well, what are you going to name your child? Oh, I don't know, you know, just, I've known people say, man, I don't know. I've looked at so many books. They've taken a list of favorite names and put them in a hat and just, oh, this is a good name. You know, and sometimes gift giving is like that too. You know, oh, I don't know what I should get them, so I'm going to get them something, you know. And then you open up that gift and that person, and you know, it's the socks that have toes, you know. You ever see those? I saw a pair of shoes like that the other day. They were shoes that literally had toes. You put your toes into the shoe. I thought, boy, that would only work if you had the socks that did that, amen? Or if you went without socks. I don't know how I got on that. Just gifts for people in mind, right? Let's go back for a moment, and I want to take you and look at this first Christmas and observe, I believe, how this Christmas is celebrated. And we talk about giving gifts to the King. Tonight our choir is going to be singing about the King. It starts first and foremost with the fact that God gave. God gave His Son. And you know, that really puts it in proper perspective for us, and we think about going out there, and sure, nothing wrong with giving, nothing wrong with giving Christmas cards and presents for people and gifts and all this, but you know, isn't it wonderful, and we can really be reminded, why are we doing this, and what does that typify for us? When we are reminded that God gave His Son for us, in fact, there are several passages of Scripture, I'm only going to give you a couple here, a few. But I could give you this many. I mean, the Bible is just over and over again as to God's gift of His Son. Here's a few verses you're familiar with. Matthew 1:21, the Bible says, "And thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 state, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." John 3:16, a verse we're all familiar with. All year long we use this and quote this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9:6, and as a praise and testimony, I believe, says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And again in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where Paul's writing to the church at Rome, says, "For the wages of sin is death," but then he reminds us, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, this is where it begins. Why do we give? Why do we take the time to think about a loved one, to express a gratitude, a gift of gratitude, a present of sorts, or whatever? Why do we want to fellowship around the meal table or take somebody out and recognize how special they are? We do this, I believe, because we have an understanding that God gave. He initiated this. God gave His Son, the ultimate gift that could be given for mankind. And in fact, if you look at the common denominator, Matthew 1, Luke 2, John 3, Jesus, His name is, why? He'll save His people from His sins. "In you born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Why? "That through Him we might experience the everlasting life, forever life with God." And Paul says twice, this is a gift from God. Now, if there's anything I know about gift, if somebody gives me a gift, I know it didn't cost me anything, but it cost them. It was a purchase from them. And what am I supposed to do with that gift? Receive that gift. with all the love and appreciation that is intended by the giver. And the same thing we think about our relationship to Christ. Do you recognize Him today as that wonderful gift of God? That lamb without blemish, that one who was born of a virgin, came into this world, the spotless Lamb of God, who would ultimately die for you, give His life. Jesus literally was born to die for the sins of the world. You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I already understand this truth. No, you know what happens if you have to say you're preaching to the choir? You don't understand that truth. Because when you hear that, the light of the Lord lights up in your heart. It's like a fire that's restoked, is it? Is it? It just warms you again. See, the person that says, well, I know that, or, you know, I've heard that before. You know what? It's gotten old to you. You need to get back. And you need to rekindle. You need to get back and you need to revive that which God brought into your life. First time around, amen, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, personal Savior. Don't ever let that get old. Don't ever let that get stale. Some 2,000 years ago, hadn't got old and stale yet. Don't let that happen to you. Bible says that God initiated this when He gave His Son. You know what's interesting here? If you look at the narrative in the passages of Scripture, over and over again, we see somebody giving. Individuals giving, groups giving. God gave His Son, number one. Number two, the angels gave a song. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Scripture says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Listen, they could not give a Savior. Wasn't theirs to do. They couldn't do that. They could not give silver or gold, not theirs to give. They couldn't do that. They could not tell of His saving power from personal experience. They could not do that. But you know what's interesting in the narrative, the Christmas story that we read in the Scripture surrounding the birth of Christ? There's something they could do, and they did it. There's something they could give, and they gave it, and that was a song. That was a song that they sang to the glory of God and of goodwill among those upon whom God's favor rests. You know, we are never too poor to sing. To sing praises unto Almighty God. Amen? The angels gave a song. I like what Charles Wesley wrote. He was the brother to John Wesley, the father of modern Methodism. And while John is really credited with writings and preaching and all, and Charles did some, but he's more noted as the songwriter. He wrote this one. You remember this. Charles Wesley, it was a prayer that he put, and we sing the song today. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." Do you have that song in your heart today? Is that a song that you allow to come from your lips today? You see, God gave His Son. The angels gave a song. That's something we could do today, is sing a song of praise unto the Lord. I like what Francis H. Rowley vowed when the words of this song was penned. "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea." You know, there's another group that we find in the Christmas story, this narrative that we read in the Scripture, and that's the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible said, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." God gave His Son, the angels gave a song, and the shepherds, what did they do? They gave a story. They gave a story. I mean, they received the witness from God. Amen? They received it. And the fact that they received it, now they have something to give. Fact be told, you can't give what you don't have. Amen? You really can't. And these shepherds, they gave a story. Why? They received the witness. Number two, they believed the testimony. They heard, they witnessed, they watched, they went forth. And in doing so, they then proclaimed the good news abroad. You know, that's something we can do. In fact, that's something the Bible commands us to do. In fact, that's something God calls us to do each and every day of our life, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's the same story that these shepherds witnessed and received and would proclaim. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. We can testify by our lives and with our lips as to the wondrous works of God. They would testify how the angel story was true, how the babe was born of the virgin in that manger stall, in that place, born of God. And now we can take that story and we share the birth and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Something to give. There's another group in this narrative, and that's the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, our text, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. It begins with the seeing of the star, his star. It begins with them seeking after the Savior. They sought the Savior. I still believe, and I know it's on bumper stickers and buttons and pins and bookmarks, but I still believe to this day that wise men still seek Him. And I believe that. And so is that person who follows after God in Christ Jesus. Amen? They sought the Savior. They not only sought Him, but look at our text this morning. They fell down and worshiped Him. Isn't that interesting? You know, we have a lot of songs that are, and I call them fun songs. They really are. But there's a lot of songs that, you know, when we see Jesus, I want to ask Him all these questions. When I see Jesus, I want to tell Him all these things. When I see Jesus, I'm going to root and toot and jump and dance and shout and all. When I know, you know what? Any time I look at the Scripture, people come to Jesus. You know where I find them? On their face before Him. You know the ones who weren't on the face before Him were the ones who really didn't know Him. Think about it. Oh, I mean, we can have fun with songs, and we do. But you know, if you look at the Scriptures, we have a perfect example here of these wise men, these magi who came. And as the Lord, as the Father gave a son, and as the angels gave a song, and as the shepherds gave a story, the wise men gave of their substance. They sought the Savior, they worshiped the Savior, and then they indicated their devotion and reverence in the giving of gifts unto Him. And not just, listen, not just any gifts. You know, I put down here, they didn't give Him seconds. You know what seconds are all about? They didn't give Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave Him costly gifts. They gave Him those things that were the best that could be obtained. Now, let me illustrate this a little bit by the words of another song written by Howard B. Gross. Here's the lyrics. And he urges us to do the same thing. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Give, and to you shall be given. God, His beloved Son, gave, gratefully seeking to serve Him. Give Him the best that you have. You know, the only time I enjoy seconds is when it's a meal in the microwave. Amen? Some food better warmed up. Some food better the second time around. Well, that's how I feel. But you know, when it comes to living for God and it comes to serving God, you never go wrong by giving Him your best. Amen? You say, well, why should I give Him my best? I think there's one simple answer to that, and it's found in the scripture, but this simple answer would be this. He gave his best to you. In fact, he gave his best for you. Amen? Does he deserve any less? Does he deserve any less of our seeking after him? Does he deserve any less of our worshiping him? Does he deserve any less of our devotion and appreciation shown him? You know, there's somebody else, the scripture tells us, that gave something to the Lord, an individual, very special individual. This is an individual that I think in a denomination that I worshiped and served in or lived when I was a youngster, I think kind of put her in a place that she, if she could come back before us now, she'd tell you she didn't belong in that place. But nonetheless, she is somebody that I think is very, very special. And the Bible calls her blessed. And that is Mary. That is that young virgin woman that was used by God. She was the vessel used by God to bring in this spotless lamb into the world. I'm thinking this morning that Mary gave submission. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, the Bible says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You know, it's very interesting passage here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. I love this. Beginning in verse number 46, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord." You know what this is? She said, "My soul magnifies, my soul declares the greatness of the Lord." You know, we could learn something taking to heart what Mary sang, okay? This is a song of Mary. This is known as the Magnificat. But notice what else she says. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." The language here also emphasizes to us that while she was the blessed mother of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, while she brought him into this world in the Holy Spirit working and nurtured him and cared for him, she also recognizes through the language here, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Amen? Just like each of us today have to get to the place to recognize we can't save ourselves. And no matter what we do, in the name of God, if there's no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You fall short. And here's Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And listen to this song, beautiful. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." You know, this Magnificat, this song, this is more than a giving of a song. Mary giving her submission. This is more than the giving of a story. This is more than the giving of substance. Mary gave her life. Mary gave her soul. Mary gave the totality of her complete self as she would one day be overshadowed by the Spirit of the living God and be used by God to bring the Lord Jesus into the world. Listen, she faced misunderstanding. We can only imagine the hardship that she went through. Never knowing a man, but being conceived by the Holy Spirit. She faced misunderstanding. She faced great criticism. She faced criticism then. She faces criticism today. She faced the possibility of death And in her submission that she gave unto God, she still put her faith in Almighty God. There's one more that we see amongst the many illustrations we could draw from Scripture, looking at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, and these gifts that the wise men brought before Jesus that they gave to this young child of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that was a group we will refer to today as the Bethlehemites. They gave a stable stall. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary gave her all. The Bethlehemites gave a stall." What a contrast. What a contrast of one who is completely and totally surrendered. "I am a handmaiden of the Lord." What a contrast of that one that says, "Lord, whatever you want, whatever you need, whatever you desire to do in me, through me, by me, here I am. I'm yours." And then those coming to a stopping place, looking for a place to stay, husband and wife with child, only to be told, "No room, no room." What a contrast. So God gave His Son. The angels gave a song. The shepherds gave a story. The wise men gave their substance. Mary gave her surrender. The Bethlehemites gave a stall. The question we ask you now is, what are you going to give Christ today? You see, we have been made in the image of God. Amen? He is the Elohim. He is the creator of heaven and earth and everything therein. But He is also our Savior God. And to each of us who place their faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of our relationship, our relation to the Father, I want to submit to you that like begets like. The Father gave, the children give. The Father gave, the children are to give. What are you going to give Christ today? Perhaps you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God gave you His Son. I said it last week, I say it again, it bears repeating for time and eternity. I cannot think of a better gift than for one to come and say, "Jesus, come into my heart and save me." I reflect every year around this time. In a few weeks, I celebrate the anniversary of when I first came to the cross and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Never forget it. Never forget the events that surrounded it. Never forget the happenings before, happening during, happening after. Never forget what God has done in the road. This thing called a walk of faith that He has sought to grow me in. I pray you never forget. So if you're here this morning and you say, "I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior," I cannot think of a better time than for you to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I can't save myself. I can't earn it. I can't work for it. There's nothing I can do. And if I want to have a home in heaven, it begins with Jesus. For God sent Him to be the Savior of His people." Christian, what will you give? Oftentimes when you use the word give, what do people think about? You heard the story about the devil, how he really wanted to defeat the believer? He tried to get him to stop soul winning, and he couldn't. Believer kept winning souls. Tried to get him to get out of the prayer closet, and he couldn't. Believer kept praying. Tried to get him to stop being faithful to the church house of God. He couldn't. Believer kept going. There was like, how in the world am I going to defeat this one? Devil got an idea. Shot that believer in the wallet and stopped him dead. Giving. But you know, isn't that what people often think? Oh, there they go, talking about giving again. How much money am I to give? God gave His Son. Put a price tag on that. No money. The Son of God. The shepherds gave a song or a story. No money. Put a price tag on that. The angels gave a song. No money. Put a price tag on that. Mary gave herself. Surrender. No money. Put a price tag on that. The Bethlehemites gave a stall. No money. Put a price tag on that. I don't believe you can truly begin to even think about giving your money until you first gave your own self. And that's what we're talking about. Christian, how about you this morning? Say, well, I can give my time to the glory of God. I can give my talent to the glory of God. What is it that God can use you to give? I wish we had time to keep going about illustration after illustration in the Scripture of other individuals and people groups who saw what they could give and they gave it. I am so grateful for those individuals and people groups that see what they can give. And you know what they do? Something wonderful. They give it. They give it. Why? Because they come and they seek to place it in the hand of God. And say, God, it may not be much. Many years ago, it'll be 35 years now. 35 years ago, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I was challenged by somebody to say, you might not be much, Brother Bob, but you can give whatever you are. Not for the life of me, not one day, did I ever think that 35 years later, I'd be standing in this place right here, right now, proclaiming this book to you folk gathered here. I never saw it, but somebody did, and that's Almighty God. And you know, there's some of you in this room, you say, well, what could I do? What could I give? I don't see it. I don't see it. Beloved, you don't have to. God sees it. Amen? Amen? And He knows what He can do with whatever, even yourself, if you'll just give it. If you'll just surrender. If you will step into the offering plate and say, God, here I am. I might not be much, but I'm giving you all of it. And God will take it. And much like the lad with his little lunch, Jesus can take you and He can bless it and He can break it and He can deliver it to the multitude. And the blessings left over just keep going on and on and on. God gave. What a wonderful lesson out of Matthew 2:11. What will you give today? Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank You for for South Swansea Baptist Church. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come today. Lord, I thank you for this season because it really helps us to reflect. We get caught up in summer events and we get caught up in spring plantings. But this time of the year, we enjoy the music. We enjoy the lights. We enjoy the gift giving. And we enjoy how you use it all to help us really hone in, to really sharpen ourselves as to what our Christianity is all about. It began with a simple gift from you. Paul said an unspeakable gift. Gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, what might we have done that night if we were the wise men, if we were those magi? What would we have brought? Father, I'd love to believe that each of us in this room would have been in that grand caravan, bringing our gifts because we're willing to bring ourselves. And Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, that you'd save them. And for the Christian, Lord, whatever it is that's on their plate right now, whatever lot in life, whatever they're dealing with, health issues, financial issues, job issues, Lord, may we remain faithful to you and your word, and might we continue, much like Mary of old, to be surrendered. For there's nothing that you allow to come into our life that does not first pass through your hands. Show us that today. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. You've never asked him into your heart. We'd like to pray for you. By an uplifted hand, you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'd like to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Would you raise your hand high? We want to pray for you. Anybody like that this morning? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. Anybody like that? Slip it up and put it down. I know I need the Lord. Anybody like that? Christian, it's my prayer that God spoke to your heart this morning. We don't know how. We don't know what direction. The Spirit of God has decided to take this message in your life. But by an uplifted hand, you say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart today. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that this morning, just slip it up. Hand up there and there and there. God bless you and there and there and there. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I see your hand, sir. God bless you." Anybody else? We'd like to have prayer for you.